You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Steve Richards from Australia. Steve is the founder of Holographic Kinetics, which works with Dreamtime Healing. Dreamtime Healing is an ancient shamanic form of healing which accesses the soul and spirit using the laws of lore. He's discovered and teaches others around the world how to heal what is happening to a person at the soul level, which is rooted deeply in time that can be corrected by going back to the root and shifting the cause. You can read some of the deepest esoteric material on his website at www.holographickinetics.com. He also has an in-depth 14-part series on his YouTube channel. Type in Holographic Kinetics, and with Steve Richards, it's absolutely a must-hear. It's an amazing body of work. So I'm really excited to welcome Steve to the show now. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Yes, can you hear me?
Ah, yes. I am really just astounded by your work, and I think because there is a time delay, I'm going to just let you share about how you got into it. I'm more interested in the listeners getting a sense of what it is you're doing, which is the essence of healing, which has to do with going back. It's holographic. You talk about it. Just tell us what you do.
All right. Well, holographic kinetics itself is a new modern science area of what we've learned. But Dreamtime Healing is where it comes from. I'm an Aboriginal descendant, and this is the ancient art of 60,000 years of knowledge where the Aborigine himself lived in alignment with his universe. He was aware that everything in the universe was alive, and he could communicate to the trees, the rocks, the plants, everything was alive. And like when they wanted food, they put out at night to the dream time. And through the dream time, they would communicate with the spirit of the kangaroo or spirit of other animals, and they would donate the vehicle. The soul was in fight or flight, and there was your lunch the next day. Taking it to a whole new level of, as I'm an Aboriginal descendant, I was born with a lot of this understanding and knowledge within me, but not the fact I could do it. I want to know what it is I'm doing. How does it work? And I've spent 40 to 50 years of research and taken to a whole new level of understanding that as everything is alive in this universe, man himself is a hologram of time. And what happens is that man is also a multidimensional being in that hologram of time. He consists of many parts. One, he consists of this physical world we live in today. He consists of a soul, which is the storage banks of all the experiences locked into the being. He consists of a spirit, which is the essence of the being, which comes in at the moment of conception, which is linked to the heart. Like science today say, oh, before it reaches the head, we realize that it reaches the heart. Yes, because it first reaches the spirit in the invisible, then it comes through the visible end product. So, and then, of course, there's life forms. There's life forms. And sometimes we ourselves create life forms by the thought processes that we lock in. But how does it work? We've really got to go back and look at the ancient Aboriginal culture that everything's alive. And they realised that the earth itself was a mother. She gives birth. But you can't have a mother without the father. So the father is the son. And the way it works is it lets out electrons. And it's electrons that are captured as inverted electrum energy flux. Once this is captured within our cells, this comes down a mathematical formula into us and becomes a thought, which becomes a thought form. It's now given life. It becomes a life form. It has the right to survive. So what it'll now do is it'll reproduce itself within the fractals of the hologram, which is you. And what does a fractal do? A fractal reproduces itself. Once it reproduces itself, you become stuck in time of that dimension. Everything is linked to a dimension from its beginning to its end, and everything is separate within a separate dimension as a fractal of the hologram. Therefore, there's your prisoners in the prison system repeating the patterns over and over, not knowing why they keep doing it, because they're stuck in time. The moment we can enfold time and space in that dimension, and we loop time on the dimension, it mathematically changes within a mathematical form of the universe to the 7, which is the right angle, and it creates a new time track outside time. And what was ceases to be, and what is becomes a new time track. That's just a little bit of it.
So how do you actually unfold space and time and go back and make that shift? And then how do these thoughts gain a life of their own? And are there other games that are using us through trauma and repetition to control us in future lifetimes?
Yes. Many questions there you've just asked.
You're right.
To go back, we've got to first have a look at what I call the variables that are within our dimensions. Now, to understand that, again, you know, we have, just look at the spirit and the soul. The spirit is the essence of the being. The spirit is the essence moving through time and space, continuous, but it needs a vehicle. So what happens is the mother and the father, through the epigenetic lines in the cells, create the little baby, and that little baby has a hologram of time of all the ancestors. We're dealing with stolen generation trauma example, and we will go in to a little baby as an adult today to find out the cause and effect. It may go back to baby, and it's come down the epigenetic lines now. We can access if that trauma that's affecting today has come from the great-great-great-great-grandmother through time. And what we do is, by understanding how to do this, we call through the hologram of time the spirit of the great-great-grandmother. Next minute, she's physically talking out of the body in that moment of time, explaining how they've just taken her children. She can't afford to love any more of her children because she doesn't know when they're going to come and take the rest. Therefore, she's then shut down. Today, that now passed down the genetic line where they can't associate with the children. So that now has an effect in present day till we unfold time and space on the trauma that was linked to the great-great-great-grandmother. We change the time, create a new time track outside time for the future cycle of time. Now, just to understand that a little bit more. When you went to school, they didn't teach you that when you take 3 steps, your past step is your present. So your past steps, your last, the past, the one you're in now is your present, and the next step you take is going to be your future. You cannot survive without 3 dimensions of time. You would be frozen in time, suspended in space, if you didn't have 3 dimensions. You had a past life, you had a present life, and you will have a future life. Deja vu. There's nothing new under the sun. It's all happened before in the big cycle of time. We are now living in the new cycle. So we live in the cycle of time, the reflection of the past cycle, but we're heading now into the new. This is a conjunction point right now where we're heading into the new future cycle of time. Now, if you do nothing to change it, then what happens is the present and the past will set up the same cycle of everything's happened before in the future. But we always have the ability to make changes to the variables at any time on the time track. And this is where we change an event that's happened. And some of these events, look, we go back thousands of years with some people, we tell them nothing. We just access their spirit. Their spirit has the ability to know how, where, when, and why anything was ever created upon the time track of a being. And it could go back thousands of years. And if it goes back thousands of years, then you're stuck in that trauma of the event. You may have died suddenly with a major trauma. And the moment you die with that major trauma, that dimension became suspended in time and space. It can be suspended for thousands of years. All it needs is a trigger to awaken the sleeper. Once a trigger's triggered, that dimension now overrides in present day and is now overriding itself in present day. And the person has no idea why or what is taking place. Sometimes we're finding people that are coming through with physical problems that are linked to past. Many of problems I've had with people with really bad psoriasis, and we go back and the past life was Inquisition and they burned them to the stake. And the last moment, the last memory locked in that moment of time was the skin dropping off them. They come through this life, the trauma's still in the skin till we change the trauma, and that changes that dimension. So you've got the spirit and the soul. These are two most important. But the spirit is the essence of time going through the vehicle, through time. The vehicle coming down through time has all the soul memory of all the ancestors. The day you're born, you're getting programmed. The day you're born, you're taking on programs. The day you're born, everything projected at you, you take on, become part of the soul that locks into your cells. Now, as it locks into the cells, it becomes intelligent, of course. It's part of you. But every little fractal of that that's locked into you really wants to be running and taking over you. This is how we get people when they evolve, these life forms evolve to a state of thought form, life form. Life form has the right to survive. The tree is alive. The rocks are alive. The tree knows the tree. The dog knows the dog. The thought only knows the thought that created it. And it will keep reproducing that within the universe. You become its host. You just gave birth to a life form that's growing through time within you, within your cells, that keeps reproducing and setting you up until you become aware of that dimension.
So it seems like there's a dual approach here. Part of it is a creation that is generated by from outside of ourselves, in a sense, that understands the game. And part of it has to do with us not being conscious of our thought forms and how our thought forms are creating our reality, and we're perpetuating something that may have been that came up in a present lifetime. So, in other words, there are games such as religions and politics and wars and all that are creating trauma, horrible, horrible deaths, which gives those entities or beings that are running those games access to you at a future moment in time.
Well, it's a funny thing, but we never really look at words and stop to think about words. If you had a motor vehicle and you missed payments on it, they'd repossess your motor vehicle. Well, stop to think about the word repossess, possess, to possess. They're actually repossessing vehicles, bodies, for the new future cycle of time to keep trapping in the game. This is the harvest, and that's what it's all about. The more trauma they can create, if they can traumatize the spirit, that'll give them access to the soul. Now, if they can get the person to terminate themselves, which they're doing en masse right now, then they get the vehicle for the future to repossess, reharvest back into the game with them in control.
So what I'm seeing and what I've seen over the years is that there are multidimensional entities that are working from another dimension that are actively working to harvest souls for their game at this conjunction point or zero time that we're going to talk about in a minute, and that most of humanity is unconscious of what's going on, and so they're basically acting as pawns or sheep that are being led to the slaughter, while those who are awakening are beginning to understand contracts and agreements and statements to negate any others who have an intention or desire to take us into the next game. Am I saying that?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Okay. And the thing is that when we're born and we came into the vehicle, it had been genetically engineered originally into amnesia. We as a spirit forgot who we were. And then we allowed the programming of the soul to manipulate us. And right through time, we have been manipulated. When we start to become intelligent, we start to ask questions, go back through time. And as you go back through time, we had the Inquisition. They'd make sure anybody at all that started to become aware, we classify as a witch, and they burned to the stake. But wait, In the Inquisition, they're going to kill you. Why do they torture you before they kill you? To get you to submit, to give them access to the soul. You've really got to look at the games that have been played for thousands of years in our world and the manipulation by the forces of us as a human spirit.
Oh, absolutely. And as I understand it, the church baptizes in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and what they're doing is sealing the spirit or the soul, keeping you from communicating directly with it. And then, of course, we know that there's massive satanic and pedophilia activities going on within the church. And then you have vaccinations and so on. So basically, that's a form of enslavement that gets you right at the source. Is that right?
That's correct. But you've got to go back even further than that. And you go back to the old temples right through Europe. And the old temples, you remember how they used to have the gargoyles and the winged serpents over the temples? And they're always over the entrance. And the word entrance actually stood for entrancement. And they would entrance you through the entrance and down to be altered at the altar. Now, if you go into the Egyptian pyramid once more, you find that in the king's chamber, there are two shafts. One aligns with Alpha Draconis and one with the Orion system. And the initiates were taken to the king's chamber and never the same again after the initiation ritual, because they were taken over by these two shafts, the only energy coming through the shafts from these two planets, and the integration of that was a takeover by these beings. Rituals have been going on for thousands of years, which gives these beings access to these to the human body. Now, when they get access, what happens is people are doing things they have really, they're not consciously aware they're doing it, but they'll justify doing it because the life form that's manipulating now is justifying it. This is why a lot of rituals take, and look, over the years, I've worked with, well, I reckon it'll be over 100,000 people in 40-odd years. Wow. And my understanding of all of this has come from what I'm finding from working on these thousands and thousands of people, and especially people have been linked to initiations and ritual stuff. And we find that the parents are donating their own children to some of these ritual things, but they're justifying it, because the life forms manipulating them into justifying that it's all right.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And then, of course, this could tie in back to all of the metaphors and myths about the Anunnaki or the reptilians and the Greys and all that stuff. You know, having engineered man, it doesn't matter if they're working on a multidimensional level. Then the genetic engineering is the least of our worries.
Well, that's right. That's just us coming to the vehicle, which allows the manipulation. You see, you've got to, I mean, we go back 20-odd years ago, and I was dealing with abduction cases 20-odd years ago with people, and we found that when we enfolded time and space by going back to the cause of the effect of the original agreement of entrapment, we could stop those abductions from taking place. Because what we found over the years is that this universe has got laws, L-O-R-E, laws of law. Now, Aboriginal culture lived by law, L-O-R-E. It knew you're responsible for your thought, your word, your deed, and your action. But no man can escape the cycles of time. Whatever you've done is going to unfold back onto you. But at the same time, nothing can invade your universe without permission and authority. When they've invaded the universe without authority, we can deal with those dimensions that have come into that authority with your permission as we clear somebody. But their game was to set up this game to keep man just like the sheep in the darkness, not knowing, and to manipulate man through time. And that's what's been taking place, is man has no idea of the dimensions. They set up games to entrap him into new games. I mean, me, the biggest game out there to me is the church. I mean, admittedly, I'm going to say now, I don't like religion because of what I've seen to Aboriginal culture and other cultures around the world, but I do believe the word and the book out there, by bull, part truth, as by, has a lot of good keys and secrets in it within the universe, but they've been manipulated through time on so many occasions. You go back to the time of Constantinople. They took everything out of the Bible related to entities and reincarnation. So people would become aware.
Yep, yep, yep. And then look at all the times that there have been massive book burnings in Rome, in Hitler's Germany. There were, you know, they had the burning of the books. Look at the way that the in the early United States history, it looked like as if the new settlers were massacring the buffalo and the indigenous tribes, and then the Catholic Church comes in and gives them moves them off the land and sets up shelters where there's rape and abuse and all kinds of horrors, which Kevin Annette is exposing. And so this is not an accident. This is planned out at the highest levels, and it is being manifest on our planet. And if you go on, you look within our own governments. You have the secret agencies, CIA, NSA, you know, DARPA, which is associated with the Vatican. You have secret programs, Area 51 through 951, underground bases, time travel. The Nazi movement never died. It came over with Project Paperclip. So people are beginning to find out these things, that these mad scientists are running the world, and they're replicating, and we're in a very dire situation if we don't wake up and correct things at the individual level first, because you can't change anything out there. You have to change what's going on within your own thoughts, deeds, and actions first, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's correct. That's correct. We are responsible for our thought, word, deed, and action, but we have virtually been hoodwinked to the degree that when we came into the vehicle, we had no communication with our own spirit, because we just had been programmed. And it's been going on all throughout our life. And if you go back to the Vatican, I mean, it's a great thing. If you go into the resurrection of the Vatican, I don't know if you've seen it on YouTube, the resurrection of the Vatican, and have a look at it. And behind the popes, this massive skeleton of a winged serpent. Have a look at it. And he's behind the Pope. Have a look. I mean, it's really open your eyes when you step back and look at what's going on. And remember, he's a representative to God. Well, who are the gods? These beings that have been manipulating. And you've really just got to look at that. That's only a religious factor. But that's going on for thousands of years of manipulation in some form or some other way.
Yeah.
The key is we are a spirit on a journey. And when we start to become aware and we start to communicate with our own spirit, it has the ability from the internal world to the external world to rearrange the universe for our reality. Anything external to internal that we take in, we take it in through our choice, external to internal. It becomes locked in ourselves and becomes part of the soul. The soul is the external to the internal. The spirit is the internal to the external. There's always an equal opposite in this universe for balance. It's as if you take a negative electron, and if you hit it with a positive electron, it creates what's known as a positron, and it spirals a negative electron out of this dimension into the past. It doesn't exist. Now, the universe has been made with all these laws of balance, but these beings have been trying to manipulate it. Everything must be known. So they put out there what they're going to do before they do it. We don't do anything. We see it. We scoff over it. We've accepted it because we didn't say no, because we didn't stand up and do something about it.
So that so when things are put in movies and newspapers done at the global level, at the level of presidents and the shadow government, they basically tell us what they're going to do, and then if we don't we don't offer any resistance it's in a sense it's a mass hypnosis, and it's a trick on all of us, because it's a consent by not knowing that we're actually giving consent to something that they're going to do.
Silence is an acceptance. Unless we stand up and say, no, I don't go along with that, then we're metaphysically putting out an invisible. You see, the first thing we have to look and understand first is the invisible world. Then it comes through the visible world. Our system today is based on the visible. What we see, what we feel, what we can pull apart exists. Well, as I say to the scientists and the psychiatrists, hear me a thought. And all of a sudden they look there, their mouth open, they're dumb. It's invisible. You can't see it. You can't feel it. It's invisible. Right. But have a look at our world. We have created jets, skyscrapers, ships. There's not one thing in this world that man hasn't created That was just a thought in the beginning. We have to just step back and look at it and understand a whole new perception of these realities.
So where do these thoughts come from? A variety of sources that are multidimensional in nature?
The thing is that in this molecular mortal world, we have free will choice. With that free will choice, we have the free will of our thoughts and of our experiences. But they have set up many games to now entrap us into their game. And when they trap us into their game, then he who enters the game of another becomes subject to the laws of that game. Now, when you go through initiations and you go through rituals, an example, you enter their game. You're subject to laws. In my early days, I got picked up and thrown 30 feet through the air by an invisible force. I land on the couch. I remember saying, okay, I get the hint, I'll wait. I wasn't scared. I was fascinated how that took place. It took me 20 years to realize what took place. The guy was doing automatic writing. He'd invited an entity into his body. He's doing automatic writing. I walked up to shake him and to get on and do what he had to do. I entered its game and it just threw me out of the game. See how powerful these beings are. Look, I've seen them. I've seen them take out people. I've seen them take over people that didn't know what they were doing. And I've seen people that have actually killed their children by these force. They had no idea they'd done it. And then they committed suicide later. I've seen how powerful these beings are and what they're doing in our world. I look at the amount of, and they're not telling you today, they're not telling you how many suicides there are, but I'll tell you now, on a daily basis, heaps, heaps and heaps. And right now the acceleration of it is purely and simply because drugs, alcohol, these things will open wormholes into other dimensions and allow them access to the vehicle. Now, they'll work on you because they want to take you out because they want to repossess, reharvest your vehicle with them in control in the next cycle.
Now, if you have to...
Sorry.
Are these beings interconnected in any way as a force? And if what are they, in other words, is there a cohesiveness that they're all in agreement to, or is it just a number of higher dimensional or interdimensional beings that are working independently of each other? In other words, can we assign some kind of name to them?
Yes, look, there's a whole range of ones out there, and there's all different processes. Like, take an example. If you take an animal spirit or a human spirit, you can't deal with an animal spirit or a human spirit the way you can an entity or one of the bigger forces because he's actually not an invader. You see, what takes place is if you kill an animal or a human without permission, you destroyed his vehicle. Well, under law, the universe says, hang on. Look, you destroyed his vehicle. He can have yours. So he has the right to jump into your body. Now, what takes place is once he's in the body, he can be asleep for thousands of years. He needs a trigger. Once the trigger's triggered, then all of a sudden that, we'll go to the animal spirit first. The animal spirit can take over. Now, we had a case here with a little boy, and the little boy is, he comes, his dad brings him to see me. He went to the doctors first because the boy's, he gets up every morning really early and goes out in the backyard and he's touching certain rocks and certain trees every morning and every evening. And he's in the car and he's sniffing the air, and the dad says, look, there's something going on here. And they take him to the doctors. The doctor says, look, he needs to see a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist says, we need to lock him up and monitor him and medicate him so we can see what's going on. They said, no way. And they brought him to me. The boy's 11 years old, put him on the table. His little spirit said, cause effect was 8 years old. Thank you. Go there. What's happening? I'm on the mountaintop with my dad and we're doing a ritual. Thank you. And what's happening? I'm calling him my spirit totem. Thank you. And what's your spirit totem? Spirit of the kangaroo. Thank you. When's the spirit of the kangaroo? Kangaroos come out morning and evenings. He's just marking his territory. So I call the spirit of the kangaroo up and I physically have these things talking out of him. Remember, he's only a vehicle. If the vehicle's designed to talk to me in English, then if I bring any sort of animal into you, if I saw another person in you from another country, if I saw a tree in you, it can talk out of the vehicle because the vehicle's designed to talk in English. The animal spirit says, I said, why'd you invade the body? He called me in. Thank you. I sent him back to where he called him in. I changed the dimension, released it instantly. That compulsive disorder stopped.
Wow.
I've had a guy, his arms have been broken, three broken ribs by an invisible force.
Wow.
Similarity. And with this one here, this is just animal spirits showing you. This guy, when he got on the table and I went to check out what was going on, he started physically shape-shifting on the table. His mouth extended right out. He started yawning, and then he was belching. And it was like 20 times my size belching away on the table. I thought, what in the darn hell have I got here? Then I just asked, Spirit, how far back in time did this take place? And instantly speaking out of him, his spirit said, 1,500 years ago. Thank you. Go there. What happened? I'm a hunter. Thank you. What happened? I hunted down a bear. Thank you. What happened? I got close to the bear. I thought it was alive. It turned on me, bit of my right arm. I thought it was dead. It turned off, bit on my right arm, bit on my left arm, and clawed me to death. He and the bear had now died in an integrated universe of fear where they were in that dimension together. Oh. 9 years ago, he went to a party. He got drunk. He woke up the next morning, and there's someone on his chest belting daylights out of him. He'd never been so petrified in his entire life. Petrified now triggered off that dimension. It's now overlaid in present day. Spirit of the bear is here and he wants out. It's thrown him around the room. I had to bring the bear up, send him back 1,500 years, put him aside, send the man back 1,500 years, change the past and present for the future, release the spirit of the bear. The moment we did that, he got, my God, he said, it makes so much sense. I've had nightmares for years about being attacked by a bear, but that's not all. Look at this. And he took his shirt off. Oh, you should have seen. His chest, his back side were covered in hairs 2 inches long. The thing was actually morphing through into him. What we've found is whatever comes through the spirit can actually morph into the vehicle. Now, that throws Darwin theory totally out the window because Darwin's only looking at the genetic vehicle coming down through time. Yet science today is saying we're trying to work out how atoms communicate with each other, how cells communicate with each other. Well, hang on. If a cell's communicating, it's got intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's alive.
Mm-hmm.
This takes it to a new level. It understands you can communicate with anything, knowing how to do it. And when you clear it, all of a sudden that issue is no longer a compulsion that's there. Some people you get out there barking like a dog and plucking like a chicken. They call it Tourette's. We've gone in and we've found the animal spirits. We've taken them out, cleared them by doing that. Now, let's go to your over 100,000 soldiers you got suffering from mental trauma. One of the things I've worked on many soldiers that are suffering from war trauma, I've had spirits of Viet Cong speaking Vietnamese out of the body till I commanded to speak in English, and then it speaks in English to me and tells me what happened. He's had 40 years of mental trauma because the spirit of Viet Cong jumped in him when he killed him in Vietnam. Mm. Till he took him out and changed it. I've had special forces from Somalia. I've had Iraqi soldiers. We're dealing with a whole range of other dimensional stuff here that's going on. And until the psychiatrists that are supposedly understanding mental health, all these experts, until they start to listen, nothing's going to get changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have now 600-odd students around the world in 30 countries, and they're getting results in these fields. But our mainstream system is taking advice from people that aren't looking outside their little box of tools, and the box of tools they've got nowadays are worn. They're worn out, they're no good, and they need changing. They need a whole new box of tools to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what happens when, for instance, if that happens at the spirit level, let's say somebody kills an animal, that's pretty clear to understand. What about the mass raising of cattle for food? What happens with all of that when people go to the grocery store and buy the meat and consume it? Is there any blowback from that?
There's a difference, and that is that when you buy the meat and you consume it, within the meat is the soul. In other words, the memory of the meat. If the meat was killed with trauma, that can come through the meat and you can take it on. But whoever kills the spirit, and this is one of the interesting things, you find a lot of these guys that work at the abattoirs that shoot the ram set into them. A lot of these guys end up in mental institutions because they take on many, many spirits of the animals.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's the spirits. So with a spirit, you can't just remove a spirit. What you have to do is it has a right to the vehicle. You have to unfold time and space So we change the future from this ever occurring in the next parallel dimension. The moment we do that, time will loop itself instantly and create new time track outside time, and what was is no more. Then you got the next layer. The next layer is the internal entities. We capture electrons from the sun by our thought, and that thought or trauma that's set up becomes a thought to a thought form, becomes a life form. Once it reaches a life form status, it has a right to survive. As I said, the tree knows the tree, the grass knows the grass, the dog knows the dog, and the thought only knows the thought that created it. So it's going to reproduce itself in its own dimension for its survival with you as a host. It's rearranged the universe. Just say it's anger. It'll rearrange the universe to create more situations to trigger anger in you so you feed it. It's growing. It's learning. Every time you, by your actions and reactions, act and react and feed it by those emotions, it becomes intelligent. It evolves, learning about you, what makes you tick. It evolves to the next stage. The next stage, it becomes an internal entity. Now, once he's an internal entity, he can take over at will. And once he takes over at will, we now have compulsive disorder. You have no control when this life form's taking over. He's become intelligent, learned enough about you, but he's still growing. He's still growing. One day you may decide, that's it, I've had enough, no more. And your sheer determinism can let go of that particular life form or entity. He's on the loose. He needs another body. Where's he going to go? Huh. Down the local pub. The guys that are on too much alcohol, the guys on drugs are going to open doors, ways to these dimensions. The moment your defences are down, you are vulnerable. And in they go. Party time, thank you. But there's a whole range of other things out there, even bigger and more powerful. Now, as we go on, we're going to go back and we've got to look at the ritual stuff. And why rituals? You go back to the time of the last conjunction and the Aztecs, thousands of years ago, one period there I was reading where they ripped out 30,000 hearts in a day. Well, that's about traumatizing 30,000 spirits and repossessing the vehicles for the future cycle of the harvest. Now, for thousands of years, rituals have taken place. The moment you're entrapped into a ritual and you enter a ritual, you enter the game of another. You are in its game. It can manipulate you in that game. It can make you do things in that game. You'll say, I don't know why I did that, but you did it. Because of the manipulation, it is so subtle, this manipulation that takes place. They run at the highest level. And what happens is, let's just start going into some of the secret society stuff now. When you start getting into the secret society and you start getting up high in that level, then what we've found is that these beings have what's known as the born rights. What does that mean? It means that when you're born, you know, when your first son is born, firstborn child usually the son, is born, then he's already allocated to these beings on the other dimension, and they have what's known as the born rights. They enter and the spirit enters. They will now set up a trauma to traumatize that spirit so they can take over. They'll keep the trauma going through abuse, through sexual abuse, through a whole range of things throughout their life and rituals, drugs. So they stay in control of that vehicle and the spirit, he's in the back seat. He no longer gets to drive the vehicle until we take these things out. And some of the big boys, look, some of the big boys out there, they don't want to leave. They will shapeshift on the table. We have had things sitting up hissing and spitting at us, and the amount of times I've had things come up on tables and we've cleared them, the people say, this thing just wanted to smash you in the face. I said, that's normal. These things don't want to be homeless. They've got a pretty good home. They want to stay there. Until we go in and we access the spirit of the being, we unfold time and space to where this thing first came in. We go back in time, we change time, then we go after him, we take him out because he's an invader. And it's all, again, this boils down to a mathematical formula of how the universe works. We're using maths and geometry here in the process that we're actually using, and we find it works every time. And there are some pretty big things. We're finding now, we are in the conjunction right now between two dimensions. And as we conjunct with and merge with these two dimensions, we're finding there's other things coming through that are very big, and very powerful. I watched an article the other day, and the local police, they're saying, we don't know what's happening, but some of these people on some of these drugs, it takes 10 of us to hold them down. That's right, because you're trying to hold down physically this life form that's entered the body. If you know how to deal with energy, one person can lock onto these things and deal with it, but you've got to know what you're doing and how to deal with it.
So, yes, and so let's get into that a little bit, because you mentioned that we're in the period of harvest and that there's a conjunction, and that I from reading your work, you said that this started in August 2013 and progresses for the next 20 years. And, of course, we're all aware of the various names for this, ascension, the shift, the cycles of time that are turning over. How do you see this? The Law of One material sees it as a harvest of the dark and the light of souls, and that they're selecting and trying to get those who they're going to take into the next game, and so it's kind of like a battle of souls in a sense for this next template that will break off into two different directions. Is that right?
Yeah, that's just correct. As the dimensions merge, we have the ability to evolve into a new form, into a new vehicle. But what happens is, if we are stuck in time, then how can we evolve? If we're stuck in time, Groundhog Day, we're back here again to go through it all again, the whole lot, right through all of it again, until eventually we learn to let go of the things. Now, this is really important. Look at old people before they die. Why do old people revert back in time before they die? They revert back 5 years old, 8 years old, seven. Any trauma that's never been dealt with as a child, they'll revert back to relive. This is part of the laws of this universe. It says deal with your stuff now so you don't have to come back and set it up again. Mm-hmm. If you don't deal with it, then you come back and set it up again. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at this and think, look, in the future, we need people to understand how to deal with these in old people terms, as well as within the prison system, as well as within the mental health system, as well. Look, our whole society needs to awaken to the old ancient knowledge, which is really the future knowledge, if it wants to survive.
Mm-hmm. And so the key to this is really having integrity, telling yourself the truth, bringing up past traumas, resolving them, releasing them, and doing the inner work that's necessary before we leave this plane in a new cycle of time, so that we don't have to get stuck in another cycle of recurring cycles that end up in a system of domination and control where it's in somebody else's game.
That's correct. You know, it's interesting. I had a funny episode where I had somebody ask me to go and work with their wife, who's in hospice centre, and of course I'd never been to hospice centre before, and it's where old people go to die. And I walked in there, and they're doing energy healing on this woman, and I'm looking and say, oh, this is interesting, trying to inline her before she goes. Over the road's a Mason centre. No, that's interesting. So this entity doesn't get one over the road, and if that doesn't work, then the priest comes in and gives the last rites. I thought, what chance has a poor spirit got getting out of this game without them all trying to trap him before he goes?
That's amazing. It's amazing.
We don't stop to look at that. We just accept, because that's our program, to accept all these things without question, to accept without asking, to accept without stopping and thinking. And there are so many words I'm looking at today, and I'm thinking, my God, we never look at these words. And these words are really entrapment with themselves. And we accept them every day as just a word, but they're not. Mm-hmm.
And the people that are running this whole world, it seems, are aware or they're just basically psychopathically controlled by these various interdimensional beings. And so,
if you stop and you have a look at governments around the world, you have a look at the governments, and most governments, before people get into power in these governments, they belong to lodges and secret society and other things. You don't get into politics, really get into politics, without belonging to the game of another. Without going into initiations and rituals. Right. When they do that, they get taken over. It's very subtle, The manipulation at top level is very subtle. It's subtle in manipulation, but they're actually being manipulated in this game.
Yeah.
We can clear any of them if they want to be cleared, no problem at all. But once they enter the game of another, they are subject to the laws of the game. You know, mm-hmm. I've been in high-security prisons for some of the people in there, most violent men in the prison system. And I worked on one guy one day, and the guards were all laughing. They thought it was a big great joke because I said, well, give me the worst man you got. They said, you're on. So this guy, I just looked in the eye and I locked into his spirit, got permission to work with him, put him on the table. He went straight back to 2 years old. His mother and father were alcoholics and drug addicts. He knew nothing but violence all his life. He was born under that dimension. That's all he knew. The moment we cleared the dimension, replaced him outside time, you couldn't believe how humble this guy was with gratitude. He didn't want to be the way he was, but he had no choice because he was under dimension another. Therefore, he's been manipulated by that dimension, what was running that dimension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so subtle, but it's so powerful in what's actually going on in our world.
How did he get waylaid into those parents in the first place? In other words, is it conceivable that his soul or essence was coming into an incarnation that it might have even been planned out in a whole different way, and that at the Lord of Karma time or the Lord of Incarnations, some say the Archons, might have skewed him into another incarnation, which completely throws his life path off course. So you're in that dimension. You've been kind of like bending it a little bit so that, you know, you're not ending up where you thought you were going to go, and you're now a heroin addict and a drug addict and so on and so forth, born to those parents.
Well, you got twofold on that one. And twofold is, one, to be the heroin addict and cocaine addict for a start is free will choice. You chose to go down that road. Second thing is, if you're born in the first 3.5 years into trauma, if you're born under alcoholic and drug addict parents, in the first 3.5 years, everything is a 7-year cycle. But in the first 3.5 years, I can virtually nearly guarantee that you yourself set it up. In other words, just say lifetimes ago, you were violent to another.
Uh-huh.
You have to come back to parents are going to be violent to you, so you learn the lesson of what you created within that creation. Only when you learn the lesson will time loop itself and that dimension has been cleared and dealt with. In the first 7 years, the spirit will bring through trauma of the past. Within the first 14 years, the activation of the soul. Now, let's take the soul. The old priest used to say, give me a boy before 8 and I'll give you a boy of God for life, because from the second cycle, 8 to 14 is a programming stage, and they can program a child into believing whatever it wants to, and they believe the program. This is why in Sudan and over in Africa, they abduct children and they turn them to boy soldiers, where killing is normal. They don't think twice. You know, we have places out there, places out in the world today that are trying to deprogram some of these young children, because once the program's in that second cycle, that second 7-year cycle, then it becomes embedded as part of the soul. So we go back to the man who was born under those conditions. He was born under this condition because there's something he needed to learn. Now, watch this. He's born under those conditions, and sometimes what takes place, and this happens with heaps of clients, they're born under aggressive parents. Oh, I've got the wrong parents. Oh, I don't want to be here. The moment they say, I don't want to be here, that is an invitation for something that does.
Uh-huh,
I wish I was dead. That's an invitation for something that wants to live. I wish I had a friend. That's an invitation for a little friend to appear. The first is the law of intent, which is in the invisible.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's really profound information, you know.
As I said, we've taken enough people back that have had a lot of violence in their life, and we go back to see where it comes from. And they're reliving it. We tell you nothing. We just access your time track. You're reliving what happened and where these things came from. Then we go in, we change time, they'll go after the invaders that have come in, hitchhikers, I call them.
Well, now, these multidimensional beings that we're talking about, they don't have to experience any kind of karmic retribution, or they're not under the same laws, it would appear, that the human soul or essence is. In other words, they don't have to experience what they've done. It seems that they've somehow rigged the game so that they're outside of the law of cause and effect and consequences.
Well, yes and no. Again, it's twofold. what I found is for this universe and for planets to be suspended in time and space and for the cycles of the planet, everything's in cycles, cycling through this, through time and space, there has to be a balance. There has to be a law. And L-O-R-E is this universal knowledge of law. Everything has a balance. So I'm looking at this and saying, well, this law covers every dimension. You know, why do you think you've got cloakcraft out there? Because they're coming to our dimension, they're governed by the laws of our dimension, and they're going to be blown out of the sky. But if they cloak themselves, they're not a molecular structure anymore. You know, today I know that they're looking at and they're discovering there's extraterrestrials, extra-dimensionals, and interdimensionals. Well, I've been one of the best experts, I'd say, in the world, interdimensional stuff. I've been 40-odd years of understanding what's going on there. But a lot of things are coming through dimensions in the extra dimensions other than extraterrestrial. That's different again. You see, we're governed through our programming to believe everything we see, and that's all there is, visible light. But that visible light's only one skinny little band of a whole range of spectrums. If we go above the visible light, we go into the ultraviolet, the gamma rays, the X-ray rays, the cosmic photons, but we go under and we go the infrared, the radio waves, trigger plane technology, aura beam technology, beta, alpha, theta, delta brain waves, where the brain can be manipulated by lower beings on a lower level. So we don't look at space and time because of our programming to be understand that there's other dimensions out there within our own dimensions. And every planet I look at out there, every planet, I believe every planet has life on it in its own dimension. But we look at all the planets in the visible light spectrum. If you go to the observatory and you look out at all the galaxy, but then you go and look through the infrared spectrum, and all of a sudden you see whole galaxies that exist out there that we don't see with the naked eye. Multiple dimensions. And this is where it's, once we get our head out of this linear dimension and we start to look at the reality of multiple dimensions and the fact that, first, all things are invisible and it's only a thought. Therefore, if it comes to the invisible into physical reality, we must change invisible to change that physical reality. And that's where the answer is. This is where we need to go. And there are so many areas. I mean, you've got, you know, here's a difference too. I'm going to explain one of them we had here, which really was a good example of the difference between the spirit and the soul. And I had a model, and she'd come in from Europe. She gets up on the catwalks every day in front of thousands and no problems. But every morning she wakes up with anxiety and doesn't know why. I put her on the table and the spirit indicated 16. Thank you. Go there. What's happening? I remember I had a friend come and he stayed and slept on the lounge room floor and I felt something happen. All I remember is the soul remembering the experiences. Thank you. I acknowledge that. Step aside. Spirit, come forward, come forward. Now, spirit, what took place? He drugged the body and he raped me. He drugged the body and raped me. I couldn't wake the body. The spirit had the trauma because the body had been raped. The soul had no memories because it had been drugged. You understand? Therefore, the spirit had the trauma of this event. The soul had no recordings of it.
Right.
Well, but it knows everything that's taking place. That's it.
Steve, we're almost at the end of the hour, and we can actually continue on with this show off the air if you'd like, but we're going to have to do kind of a sign-off where you can give your, because we're live now, and I'd like for you to provide your address, your website address, so people can find out more about this incredible information. And then if you'd like to continue on, we can go on after the hour, and it will be part of the archive shows. It's up to you.
Yeah, that's fine with me. That's fine with me.
Okay, good. So we're going to proceed and sign off now for those live listeners, but this recording will continue until Don has to shift over to the next show. And we'll continue talking about these subjects in greater depth and detail and kind of a Zany Mystic Unplugged episode, and this will be recorded in part of this show, and you'll be able to get it in the archive. So we're going to do kind of a fake sign-off, and thank you, Steve, for coming on tonight, and you're going to stay with us, but let the listeners who are live there know where they can find your work.
If you go to www.holographickinetics.com and future seminars, as I will be in America, Canada, UK, Europe, we'll be over there teaching from June onwards again. I have a lot of students now within America. Well, we can pass on for students if people contact me on holographickinetics@bigpond.com, and I can refer students onto them if they need sessions. And I think there's about 90-odd pages of information on the website there, so I'm sure you'll find a lot more information in some of the cases that we're dealing with. So thank you. I appreciate
it. It's really great to talk to you, Steve. And, you know, this is just an amazing body of work. So what you're doing is truly pioneering. And I know my friend Eve Lorgan has posted a lot of your work, and George Kavassalis, I think, is involved as well. So thank you so much for being on tonight. And thank you for listening, everybody. And we'll say goodnight to you momentarily, and then we'll pick up the show again. Good night, everybody.